in our message today with death. I know this is a tough place to start, and you might find this body offensive, and I hope that you don't, because I know it is painfully real for so many of us right now. 5 years ago, this was my father-in-law. 8 months ago, this was my sister-in-law. And I know for many of us, this is very close in our memory. It would be safe to say that the majority of us in this room over the last year have suffered great loss. For some of us, it was the death of a loved one. For others, maybe it was the loss of a job, of a house, of a marriage. 4 years ago, this was my church. It died. And laying there with it was my dreams and a huge chunk of my identity, broken, lost, and dry. Friends turn their back on you and walk away. I was so numb at that point in my life that I didn't want to read. I couldn't dream. I didn't even want to read the Bible. Turn on the news, and you can see people all over the world see this kind of pain. It turns my stomach when I think of the bodies that have washed up on the shore in Japan, or who lay under the rubble of Haiti, or who lay bleeding in the streets of Libya. The prophet Ezekiel, he knew this kind of pain. 600 years before Jesus lived, the people of Jerusalem suffered greatly at the hands of the Babylonians. For 2 years, the Babylonian army surrounded Jerusalem and laid siege to that city to starve it out. 2 years. And those who did not die of starvation were dragged from their homes and watched as their city was burned to the ground and their place of worship destroyed, and they were forced to march hundreds of miles to a foreign country and live in relocation camps. You know, something happens to our souls when we suffer. Sometimes we can just go numb. Sometimes we don't want to do anything. We don't even want to come to worship. You never notice that? The last place you want to be is a place where people are singing hymns and praise to God or sharing in communion together. Maybe you feel that way today. Maybe you can relate to Ezekiel as God took him in his vision out into a valley, and he was surrounded by dry bones, parched and bleached from the sun. These were the bones of his people. And God looked at Ezekiel and he said, "Son of Adam, can these bones live?" I don't know the tone of voice that Ezekiel had when he responded to God, but my guess is that he responded in exasperation. And he said, "God, only you know." And I just wonder if under his breath he said, "Because I know I've got nothing." Jesus knew this kind of pain too. It had been 4 days since his friend Lazarus had died. For the past 3.5 years, Jesus had been doing his ministry and he had become good friends with Lazarus. Lazarus wasn't one of the traveling 12 of his disciples, but he and his sister Mary and Martha had supported Jesus in his ministry, and they were close friends. So Jesus stands outside the tomb of Lazarus. And he's in the city of Bethany. And Bethany is just 2 miles away from Jerusalem. And things were coming to a head in Jesus' ministry. The religious leaders were in a frenzy about him, and they wanted him dead. And the common people were divided over Jesus. Some of them thought that he was the Messiah. Some of them thought he was just crazy. Some of them thought he was from Satan. So as Jesus stood there looking at the tomb of his friend, hearing the weeping and wailing of the women over the loss of this good man, and thinking about his own pain and suffering that he would suffer in Jerusalem very soon, the emotions overwhelmed him. In the shortest verse in the Bible, we see one of the most powerful moments in Jesus' life. Two simple words. Jesus wept. I wonder what that was like. Have you ever had one of those moments in your life when your circumstances and your emotions become overwhelming to you? They surround you, they gang up on you, they pounce on you, and before you know it, your body is just convulsing in uncontrollable sobs. Recently, I reconnected with a classic book by Dallas Willard called The Spirit of the Disciplines. And as I was reading through that book, he reminded me of an important truth about life. Suffering happens in life. We live in a physical universe and things just bump into each other. Things fall apart. And you know, God never promised us that we would escape suffering in life. It's not a punishment, nor is it always associated with evil. It just happens, and it hurts. And yet, in the midst of suffering, Jesus stands in front of the tomb and he weeps. And that shows us an important truth about God. God weeps for us. And God weeps with us. God enters into our pain with us. And he sits there with us. And he waits with us for as long as it takes. But the story doesn't end there. It's a good thing. God continues his conversation with Ezekiel. And he says, Ezekiel, speak to these bones. And Ezekiel speaks to the bones. And this is like a scene right out of a supernatural thriller movie. This rattling noise cascades around the valley. And the bones, they start rattling. And the bones, they move and they connect together. And they form human skeletons all over the valley. And then these skeletons around their feet, and they start wrapping around the sinews, start wrapping around the bones. And then flesh wraps around that. And before you know it, you have this army of humanoids. The decomposition of their flesh had been reversed. They were whole, but they had no breath. And so God says to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, speak to the breath. And Ezekiel speaks to the breath, and then the air fills the lungs of this whole army. And the Spirit of God animates flesh that had once been dead and brought it back to life. And God said, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. In a place where all hope seemed lost, the Spirit of God poured out like a wave of water in a dry and thirsty land. And it brought hope back to life. Jesus stands in front of the tomb. And he wipes the tears from his eyes. And he says, I can do this. And he says, now move that stone away. And Mary and Martha are like, no, Jesus, don't move the stone. He's been dead for 4 days. He stinks. And isn't that how we are with our pain? He's like, no, don't roll the stone away. Jesus, you don't want to see my pain. because my pain stinks. And we want to just hide it and let it fester. But we have to roll the stone away. We have to let the air in. So then Jesus stands and he says in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus, aren't you glad that you're alive? Then why aren't you dancing and singing and rejoicing? I think she's stuck. We need help. Pat, somebody, I'm seriously, I need two people to come up. Van, come up, help her. This is a she Lazarus, by the way. Come on, Van, she needs help. Help her get out. You see, I think the most powerful verse in this whole story is found in verse 44. Where Jesus looks at this scene and he says to the people, "Unbind him and let him go." You see, he couldn't get himself free. But as soon as somebody starts helping, she can help along with it. Now this is happens to be my daughter, Mickey. Now can you imagine the joy that Mary and Martha felt as they're witnessing this scene of Lazarus coming out of the grave and being unwrapped? That's a great thing, isn't it? There we go. So let's just celebrate with our Mickey Lazarus that she's free. Let's give her a big hand. Now we learned four things today. The first thing we learned is this: suffering happens. It's part of the ebb and flow of living in a physical world. We don't escape it, but God teaches us how to move through it. The second thing we learned is that God weeps. God feels our pain and joins us in it, and we can take comfort in that. The third thing we learned is that resurrection happens. God does restore hope. You know, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead when he had not yet reached Jerusalem. Jesus hadn't been crucified and buried and risen again to conquer death once and for all. He hadn't done that yet, and yet still he raised Lazarus from the dead. In our lives today, even though we haven't reached the end of this story, and we still suffer in pain, resurrection still happens. 4 years ago when my church died, I was lost. I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know that God would lead me to Grace Lutheran Church, but I want to tell you something. I think that's a resurrection story. God does still restore hope. Lives can be rebuilt, and thirsty souls can be quenched. There's one last lesson that we've learned today. Resurrection is a group effort. This is really the key lesson for today. If you're here today, it means that just the fact that you're sitting in this room, you probably have at least an inkling of resurrection hope in you, that you could hop into this space. But I think that if we could look around in this room and see each other's spirits, I think we would still see a lot of grave clothes wrapped around us. A lot of us still suffer. I mean, God raises us to life by his Spirit. That's the grace of God. That's the gift. But we're still bound up with our pain and our suffering, with our fear and our anxiety, with our anger and our bitterness, with our guilt and our shame. Whatever the grave clothes are, we need to peel them away and start to really live. And as the body of Christ, we are called to reach out and remove each other's grave clothes because we really can't do it on our own. And if we take a chance and become vulnerable with each other, we can start seeing freedom. And then we as the body of Christ, as we look out into the world, there are so many people wrapped in their grave clothes, suffering from hunger and thirst and disease and war. And we need to reach out and help them unwrap. We need to offer them a cool cup of water. So as we near the end of our Lenten journey, and we move closer to the day of resurrection, may we become the kind of people that can help each other in the process of peeling away the grave clothes and healing dry bones. Amen.